Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
It's not even what they say. It's a look in their eyes where they go, I am so much better than you. You are an annoyance. You are weak. You're just trash. I mean, and that's a painful place to be on the receiving end of.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am so excited today to welcome my dear friend and a rock star. This is Rory Vaden. He is a New York Times bestseller and the author of the book Take the Stairs. And he's also a brilliant guy when it comes to branding, marketing, and also how to rewire your brain, how to become your best self. This is a guy who was once depressed, down and out, like didn't know what he was going to do with his life. And he's going to tell you how to go from where you might be feeling like down and maybe like a victim and not sure where to go in your life to becoming this person that he is now, who has built multiple businesses, 8-figure businesses, and helped others do the same thing. And you got to listen to his story and how he did it and how he learned how to rewire his brain. Right. So welcome, my dear friend, Rory Vaden.
Rebecca, it's so good to be with you. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because, you know, my career has covered different, you know, kind of areas. But the big through line is that I consider my expertise as studying the psychology of influence. So that's moving people to take action. And level four influence is influencing a community, which is a lot of like the people that I work with today at Brand Builders Group. We help some of the biggest personal brands in the world to like, how do you inspire a movement with masses of people? But in the beginning, my career started all the way back with influencing yourself and influencing, you know, before you can influence one other person, you have to become a master at influencing yourself. And that's why I think there's such a powerful intersection here between the brilliant wisdom that you provide and this issue of like, how do you negotiate to get what you need and to get what you want and to get what you deserve in life with others? But I think a lot of people probably misunderestimate how much of the battle or the victory happens first in their own mind and how they're able to influence themselves in order to create a positive outcome influencing others. So yeah, I can't wait to see where this goes to see how your mind, you know, processes all this with what I do.
Well, yeah, because I'm so excited to talk to you because you were a guy who came from a single mom.
True.
You grew up in a trailer, I think. Am I saying this correctly?
No, that's true. Yeah. I was born in a trailer. My mom is an amazing woman, and now I have 2 kids of my own, and I go, I don't know how she did it, because she was a single mom with 2 kids, but my mom got pregnant with my brother when she was 17, and then she divorced his father, and then she actually had 2 abortions, and then she had me when she was 23, and then she was divorced from my biological father 6 months after I was born. And so there she is in her early 20s, no college degree, divorced twice, 2 kids, you know, and she's gone on to have this amazing life. And I actually am interviewing her on my podcast for Mother's Day. And because I always tell the story of where we started, but I often, and people know where like my story ends up, but they don't get to hear hers. And so for Mother's Day, I interviewed her, and it's going to be on the show, but we didn't grow up with a lot. We did, you know, I was born in a trailer. We moved 9 times the first 11 years of my life. A lot of times we were just, you know, trying to get to living in people's basements and attics or what, you know, like wherever. So yeah, that's where we started.
And you went from there and you somehow made it to going to college, and you were at some point during college, you were trying to pay for college and you were selling door to door. Tell us this story.
Yeah. So my mom always said from the time I was young, she was like, you're going to be the first in our family to go to college. And you are going to get a full ride scholarship because there's no way we're ever going to have the money to do it. And so, you know, she set this up, I think, early on in my life to go, it's not your circumstances that define you. You create a goal and then ask, instead of asking yourself, is it possible? You ask yourself, how is this possible? What would it take? What would it have to look like? And you break free of these mental prisons of your own construction about what is possible and what isn't possible by basically defining rules of the game to say, I'm not allowed to be a victim. I'm not allowed to say, you know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not allowed to worry about, is it realistic? You just simply set your sights on what you want. And then you ask the question, how, and you work until you find the answer. And, you know, there's no such thing as problems. There's only puzzles to be solved. And I think what a lot of people struggle with is a lot of times we believe our own rationalizations, right? It's like, there are difficult things that happen to everybody. Right? There are limitations that we all have, right? We have limitations of our money. We have limitations of our network. We have limitations of our knowledge. We have limitations of, like, you know, what resources we have access to. So every single person has some type of limitations. What matters is not what your limitations are. What matters is how committed are you to creating a specific result in your life, regardless of, or in spite of, your limitations or your circumstances. And people don't realize how much power they have. And when you don't realize it, you allow other people to have power over you. You allow your circumstances to have power over you because you don't realize that you actually are the author of your own life, that your intentions, that your goals, that your work ethic, those things are how you write your own future. And I think I've experimented, and my whole life has been one big giant experiment of what is the biggest, most impossible thing that I could pursue? And what would happen if I just ran at that full steam?
And if you do that over and over again. Yeah, mine too. But you had a moment when you were in college where you were like, I just feel like I'm going to give up. When you were like selling door to door.
Did you know that Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take 20,000 breaths a day? But according to the EPA, it's 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and then sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. I know for us and our family has struggled with allergies to dust mites and mold and all sorts of things. And that's why we have loved using an air purifier. And Air Doctor has been amazing for us. And it has captured the attention of media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. And it filters out 99.9% of dangerous contaminants such as allergens and pollen and pet dander and all sorts of bacteria and viruses so that your lungs don't have to. And it's super quiet and much more quiet than other ordinary air purifiers. Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use your promo code YOURBESTLIFE. And depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to AIRDOCTORPRO.com and use the promo code YOURBESTLIFE. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store, from accepting payments to managing inventory. Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive your store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bestlife, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/bestlife to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/bestlife.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, so I got recruited for this company to go door to door selling educational resources to pay my way through school. I did get a full ride scholarship for tuition, but I had to pay all my living expenses. And so I had to work and earn enough money in the summers to like pay for all my room and board and everything. And so I took this job and I was going door to door, you know, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week on straight commission, paying all of my own expenses. We would have to knock on doors, Rebecca, to find a place to live. So every summer they would send us to a state we had never been before. And you literally would have to convince a stranger to let you like rent out their basement or their attic for the summer. And then once you convinced a stranger to host you, then after that, you'd wake up every morning and you would go knock on doors. And
how old were you now at this point?
17. Well, no, I guess I was 17 when I graduated high school. So I would have been 18 my first summer. And I did it for 5 summers. I ended up making $250,000 in the course of 5 summers doing this. But I mean, I cried every day because it was, fortunately, you didn't have to do very well to make a lot of money. Like, you know, if you sold one or two customers every day, you'd make like $10,000 or $15,000 for a summer. But you'd knock on 65 doors. And, you know, of the 60, like 30 of them would yell at you, make fun at you, spit on you, call the cops on you, like be, you know, I mean, maybe not 30, but like, you know, some number every day were not happy to see you, as y'all can imagine, right? I mean, being a door-to-door salesperson is like being a human version of email spam. Like no one's excited that you're there. They didn't ask for you to show up, but you know, it is a numbers game. And if you, you know, you treat people right and you're honest and, you know, at least a few people will take a minute to get to know you. And then you learn to build a relationship really quickly. But, I hated it. I genuinely hated it. I hated the way that people looked at me most of all. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but when people, it's not even what they say, it's a look in their eyes where they go, I am so much better than you. You are an annoyance. You are weak.
You're just trash.
You're just trash. I mean, and that's a painful place to be on the receiving end of. On the flip side, getting to experience that so many times, so consistently at such a young age, I think I became, you know, at first it was just like destroyed me, but then you kind of develop a callous nature to it where it's like, oh, well, you know, after the 10,000th person looks at you, you're like, it doesn't affect me anymore. And that really sets you up to be in a place of power. Because I go, you know, I tell this to my boys all the time. So I've got 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and my 4-year-old is like, you know, Liam, he's like, Jasper makes me so mad. Jasper makes me so angry. And I say, well, buddy, it's okay to be angry, but don't let him make you angry. That's giving away your power.
Yeah, such good advice.
Don't let anyone make you angry. You know, like that's giving away your power. Like you are in control of your response to every situation.
Yeah.
You are in control of the attitude. So attitude is something that I talk a lot about in Take the Stairs. And
I want to stop there before you get away from this too much, because there was a moment during that time that you were selling these resources that you felt like giving up.
Totally.
Yeah. Where you just sat on the side of the road and you were like,
yeah, I was on the corner of Buckingham Lane and Coral Court. And I was just sitting there going, you know, and I was from this small town in Frederick, Colorado, like, you know, didn't have a stoplight. And here I was all the way across the country in Montgomery, Alabama, going door to door. And I'm sitting on this curb realizing I hate my life. I want to quit. And I want to go home. And you know, things are bad when you want to go back to Frederick, Rebecca. I mean, there wasn't like a lot of awesome stuff happening in Frederick, but,
and you literally cried out to God and you said, that's it. I'm like, I want to give up.
Yeah.
To me, that is so powerful. And I don't want to like skim over that, because that is like a rock bottom moment for you. And there's so many people who are listening to this, who experience that time, who experience that feeling of like, I just want to give up, where I feel completely disempowered. I feel completely like, what else can I do? There's nothing else I can do. I just, where else can I go?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to open a door on my faith journey, like let's walk through it for a second. Cause the truth is I did give up. That was the moment that I decided, I was like, God, I can't take this anymore. I surrender. Like I hereby officially relinquish control of this situation to you. I can't do this anymore. If you want this to happen, if you want me to make it, you're going to have to show up and give me the strength to do it, because I am at the end, right? And I made what, you know, fancy churchy terms is called a covenant. I made a covenant with God, which is basically a deal. It's an arrangement, right? And I go, if you want this to happen, then you need to show up and do it. And he did. And, you know, for much of what got me through that moment, and something that's gotten me through many dark times in my life since, was I would say out loud, let go, let God, mm-hmm. let go, let God, let go, let God. And the deal that I made was like, I will do everything that I know how to do, but I don't have the courage. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the wisdom. So I'll show up and do what I can, but you have to cover that gap for me. You have to fill in the space. Like I can't control this, and I don't, and I'm giving up trying to. And so if God, if you're there and if you're real, I surrender my life to you. And he showed up because he's always there. And everybody, even if you don't believe in God, and of course, you know this, I recently went on to create a podcast called Eternal Life, 7 Questions Every Intelligent Skeptic Should Ask.
Which is so good.
About Jesus. Good. And I created it for my boys because I spent, from that moment, from that curb, over like the next 20 years, I basically spent my personal life trying to analyze the logical elements of Christianity. Like, what historical evidence is there? What archaeological evidence, what academic evidence is there that this like Jesus person, first of all, how do we even know he was a person? What makes us think he was something more than just a good teacher? What evidence is there that he was a spiritual deity? What evidence is there that there was a resurrection, et cetera? How do you get into heaven, et cetera? So I recently recorded that, but in that, that's more of the logical side of faith. But in the moment of being on at the end of my rope on the, on the street corner, it's like everybody does that. Like at some point you reach such a dark spot and you just go, God, if you're out there, help me, show up.
Yeah. And so I just want to thank you for being willing to be vulnerable here on that and being, I just want to acknowledge you for that. So thank you. And because, we've all been there. We've all had that moment of, I'm going to give up. What else can I do here? And there's something that you talk about how and I talk about this all the time too, that the human brain is not wired for success. It's wired for survival. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to reach for being like what's going to protect us. It's not wired to let's go to reach for the courageous thing, not naturally. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the number one function of the brain is to keep you alive, right? And so you go, if that's the function of the brain, how do you keep something alive? You do what is safe. You avoid what is risky. You do what is known. You avoid what is unknown. You do what is comfortable that expends the least amount of energy. And you conserve all of the energy in case you need it. That's how you, if you're operating in safety, that's what you do. Well, if you want to be successful, how do you become successful? You don't do what is safe. You take chances. You don't do what you've always done before. You do something different. You learn something new. You take risks. You expend energy. You expend effort. You have to meet new people. You have to do new things. You have to encounter rejection. And so if somebody is struggling with procrastination, which was really the topic of Take the Stairs, my first book, The Psychology of Procrastination, if you're struggling with procrastination, you have to realize it doesn't mean that you're a lazy person. It doesn't mean that you're doomed for failure. It doesn't mean that somehow it's not written in the stars for you to be successful. It means that you have a perfectly functioning, happy, healthy, normal human brain doing the very thing it is designed to do, which is to keep you safe, put off things that are difficult, avoid change, and stay with what you know. And that is the natural default of the human brain. But if you want to be a successful person, if you want to change your life, if you want to break free, all of those things are possible. We live in a world today more than ever before in history. It's easier to rewrite your story, change your life, become wealthy, make an impact on the world problems, affect people around the globe, reach millions of people. But it requires you to do things that are uncomfortable, to do things that are extraordinary, to do things that are different. And, from a neurological perspective, you know, the human brain, when you make decisions, it forms neural pathways in your brain, actually physically rooted like canals through your brain of decision-making. And the brain waves travel where it's easiest for them to travel.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Discipline is not hard once you know how to think about it in the right way. And that the world's ultra performers, which are the people that I've basically studied and profiled and you know, that spent a lot of time coaching, they have trained their brain to think differently. There's these 7 key distinctions for how ultra performers, I call them ultra performers, how ultra performers think, which is different from everybody else. And if you can train your brain, if you can rewire, literally, you know, to use the biological description, to form new neural pathways in your brain, it becomes easier to make different choices.
Are you struggling with a narcissist in your life, whether it's a family member, a friend, a business partner, a soon-to-be ex, whoever it is? Are you ready to shift that power dynamic, but you're just feeling like you cannot win, like everybody is believing their lies, and you're just feeling like there's just no way that you can shift that power dynamic? I've got a brand new masterclass for you. I'm sharing all my secrets, and so that you can finally take back your power and break free from this hell emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I've never done this free masterclass before. Go to Break Free From Hell and sign up. Come be with me and get my secrets so that you can finally take back your power and break free. Break free from hell and let's do this.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
The lower your voice, the better it is. The calmer you are, the better it is. And by the way, while you're active listening, while you're giving them validation, make sure that you're always respectful too. That means no dirty fighting, no nothing like that. No cussing, no bad words, no name calling. You're maintaining your level of respect too, because as soon as you start getting into the trenches with them, now they're seizing on that.
And now we return to today's show.
Which means they travel through the paths that have already been most established, because that's where there's the least amount of friction. It takes a lot of mental energy to form new neural pathways. New neural pathways must be formed to make different decisions. This is the science behind habits, is to go, the reason it takes a while to establish a habit is I have to it's like I have to constantly redirect the energy, like the brainwave wants to say it always go right, because it's gone right, you know, my whole life. And that's the easy path to go. And I have to go, nope, we're going to redirect it. We're going to go left. And it takes a while. But then once it starts going left and left, it then is easier to go left because that's the most recent path. It's kind of like if you think about walking through a forest, right? And I think about, you know, if you had a machete, it's easiest to stay on the trail where everyone else has been. The first time you walk off the trail is the hardest, right? The first time you decide to change your life, that moment is the hardest. It's like you have to take the machete and you're chopping down the most number of trees. The second time you go down the path is still kind of hard. It's a lot easier than the first time, but you're still like chopping down trees. You're still forming a path. But then the longer you go down the new path, the old path is the one that starts to become overgrown because you haven't been there. And that's exactly how your brain works. And you, when I say you're the author of your own life, I don't mean that in like cheesy personal development, motivational speaker talk. I mean that in biological neuroscience and the way that your brain operates. But if you don't know that and you've never been trained that and you're not a neuroscientist, you're not going to know to do that, or you're going to think it's a bunch of like fluffy motivational rah-rah.
But it's absolutely true. It absolutely is true. And I highly recommend that you guys check out his book, Take the Stairs, too, where he talks about that, and that's what he's talking about with Take the Stairs. It's all about this word discipline, which, you know, a lot of people don't want to do, but it's true. It's like, and I, you know, you guys, I always talk about how, you know, if you delay like talking to the narcissist, it's not going to help you, you know, just those delayed conversations, they don't end up going away. They end up getting worse. Like, go have the conversation. Right. And you've got a great analogy that you're kind of famous for.
About the buffalo?
Yes. That I want you to talk about, because I think that's a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Colorado, where I grew up, we are world famous for the Rocky Mountains. And so to the western part of the state, we have the great Rocky Mountains. What a lot of people don't realize is that as a state, Colorado is divided almost exactly in half. And so to the eastern part of the state, it's extremely flat. It's the Great Kansas Plains. So, well, because of that unique topographical landscape, Colorado is one of the only places in the world that has both buffalo and cows that, you know, occupy such close proximity. And there's a fantastic lesson to learn from studying the way that these two creatures respond to storms. So when storms come, they almost always brew from the west. And then what happens is they roll out towards the east. And what cows do is a cow can sense that a storm is coming from this direction. So the cows will try to run east to run away from the storm. The problem is the storm catches them rather quickly. And without knowing any better, the cows continue to try to outrun the storm. But instead of outrunning the storm, they actually run with the storm, which makes it much worse, right? It extends the amount of pain and time and frustration they experience from that storm. Mm-hmm. And it's a great metaphor for procrastination. The way that we say it is that procrastination is nothing more than a creditor that charges you interest.
Such a great quote.
Waiting always makes it worse, right? No difficult scenario is improved just by like waiting and hoping it goes away. Like, it doesn't just go away, it gets worse. So what buffalo do is very unique for the animal kingdom. So buffalo wait for the storm to cross right over the crest of the peak of the mountaintop. And as the storm rolls over the ridge, buffalo will turn. And instead of running east to try to run away from the storm, they will turn and they run west and they charge directly into the storm. And so they run at the storm. And by running at the storm, they run straight through it. which on the surface seems like it would be harder, but it actually minimizes the amount of pain and time and frustration they experience. And so in the Take the Stairs book, Take the Stairs is a metaphor for doing the things you know you should be doing, even when you don't feel like doing them, right? And it's about how do you overcome procrastination? And the answer is with discipline. And on the surface, people don't like discipline. They think of discipline as hard. But I think the reason why the Take the Stairs book has been so successful is it shows people that discipline is not hard once you know how to think about it in the right way. And that the world's ultra performers, which are the people that I've basically studied and profiled and you know, that spend a lot of time coaching, they have trained their brain to think differently. There's these seven key distinctions for how ultra performers, I call them ultra performers, how ultra performers think, which is different from everybody else. And if you can train your brain, if you can rewire literally, you know, to use the biological description, to form new neural pathways in your brain, it becomes easier to make different choices. And so take the stairs as that metaphor. But the first principle is called the paradox principle of sacrifice, the first of the seven. And so the paradox principle of sacrifice simply states easy short-term choices lead to difficult long-term consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, difficult short-term choices lead to easy long-term consequences. So that's the great paradox, is that everything we think in life that is easy is just an indulgence that makes things more difficult, right? Eating whatever we want, saying whatever we want without considering other people's feeling, buying things we can't afford, but because we can put it on a credit. Those things make life worse.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the things that seem difficult, right? Eating healthy, studying when we don't feel like it, learning new things, taking chances, like, you know, investing in your personal development, having difficult conversations with narcissists or just normal people that you have conflict with, right? Any type of high conflict negotiation is like, you do the difficult thing. And when you do the difficult thing, that becomes the very vehicle to the easier life. So the concept of take the stairs, the book, the metaphor, the whole kind of movement is not, it's not a prescription to make your life as hard as possible. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that it's about making your life as easy as possible, but it is based upon a truth that people don't acknowledge or don't want to acknowledge, which is that the shortest, most guaranteed path to the easier life is to do the hardest parts of things as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, you know, I've always done. It's so interesting because when I was going through these, I was like, you know, I've always just done these things just because that's the type of person that I am.
Right. You do it subconsciously, like a lot of ultra performers. You're like a lot of ultra performers. You do it subconsciously. But most of us, we have to be taught it so that we can consciously do it. And then it will go on autopilot.
Yeah. And like one of the ones, and because, you know, I know we're kind of a little bit short on time. So I want to go to one of the things that I thought was really interesting that you talked about, how a lot of people, they just go, well, I can't do that or whatever. But ultra performers, they think, well, how can I get this done? Mm-hmm. How can I get this done? And that's how I think. It's like, I don't think, well, I can't do this. My immediate thought is, well, how can I get this done? How am I going to get to the thing that I want to do? And you talked about how that is the difference between an ultra performer and a not. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like that switch?
Yeah. I mean, this is actually the second of the seven principles. It's called the buy-in principle of commitment. And the strategy here is that you have to intentionally create the question how, so that you don't accidentally relent to the question should. Should I do this? Can I do this? Is this possible? Remember, the human brain is going to naturally default to what keeps you safe, to what keeps you comfortable, to whatever is convenient, right? We naturally take the escalator. We don't consciously choose, oh, You know, we like most of us just get on the escalator and kind of do it without paying much attention to it. That's because the default of your brain is to push you towards convenience. The ultra performer, though, makes the conscious choice to do something different, which is take the stairs. That's the metaphor, is to go, no, I'm going to consciously choose something else. What I have noticed about my own life, Rebecca, is that if I am not consciously choosing a good attitude, then I am almost always unconsciously choosing a negative one, or at least a neutral one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, should I isn't negative. It's more neutral. It's like, eh, do I like this? Do I want to do it? That's neutral. The problem is neutral always becomes negative. Neutral eventually becomes negative. And scientifically speaking, the physics teaches us that neutral is negative. Neutral is absent a positive charge. Neutral isn't really neutral. Neutral is technically negative. And it's definitely true with our attitude. And the definition I offer for attitude is very simple. Attitude is simply the way you choose to see things. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, but your attitude, like, circumstances, we don't have a choice over. So I'll tell you a super quick story. We were flying on a plane to Jamaica one time. And in my mind, I was so ready for vacation. I had been like working like crazy. And I was like, oh man, I can't wait to get to Jamaica. I just need sun and I need beach and I just need to relax. We get off the plane though in Jamaica and it's a complete torrential downpour, like totally opposite of what I had been like dreaming about and envisioning. And so I was pretty sassy about the whole thing. Like I was pissed off, frankly. And don't judge me. I know I'm supposed to be like, you know, speaker man, but it rained on your vacation. That sucks. And I was pissed, right? So I get into the car with this Jamaican cab driver and I'm being sort of flippant. And I'm like, geez, cabbie, like, what's the deal with all this rain? And he looks at me and he goes, in Jamaica, man, we don't have rain. We only have liquid sunshine, man.
the ultimate reframe.
The ultimate reframe. The moment he said that, though, it clicked in my brain is to go, yeah, I don't get to choose the weather. I don't get to choose whether or not it's raining. I don't get to choose my circumstances. I don't get to always choose whether or not crap happens to me. But I always get to choose the way I see it, right? I can choose to see it as rain, or I can choose to see it as liquid sunshine. I can choose to see it as rejection, or I can choose to see it as God's protection. Mm-hmm. I can choose to see it as failure, or I can choose to see it as the thing I wasn't meant to do. And so it's pushing me towards the thing I'm supposed to do. I can choose to see it as pain, or I can choose to see it as the thing that is shaping me and preparing me into one day being a person of strength that I can reach back and help someone else. I always have a choice over my attitude. And we just don't hear enough about that. And no matter how much, you know, I don't mean to take away or make light of real victims or people who suffer real abuse and real trauma. Like, you don't deserve that. You didn't do anything to deserve it. And it's unfair, right? There are things that happen that are unfair. I wish we lived in a world where everything was fair. Unfortunately, we don't. We live in a world where unfair things happen all the time. But no matter how unfair it is, your best chance for breaking free from that and changing your life and doing something meaningful and recreating a better, brighter, more beautiful future for you and everyone else is to choose an attitude and to make choices that are in your control. And to focus on those things and making the best of what is to come rather than just sulking in everything that has been. And that's a take the stairs choice.
So true. And that is your perspective principle of faith.
Yes, it is. Wow. You did dig. You dug deep
into the Jorge Hayden
archives.
which is choosing to believe that it's all for the greater good later, preparing you to believe that it's all preparing you for the person that you are meant to be.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And that we have the ability to be that person, that it's all for the mission. And I truly believe that. It's like, you know, is it happening to me or for me?
Totally. And I would just change one little thing on this, right? Because that's really popular, right? And you hear, is it happening to me or is it for me? But here's what I think. It's not just happening for you. It's happening for someone else.
Yeah. Right.
It's shaping you into the person. So this is where we get into personal branding and what we do today at Brand Builders Group, right? Is we teach people how to build a personal brand that reaches back and helps others. And that's because we believe that you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were.
So true.
When something bad happens, it's not just happening for you. It's happening for someone else one day that you are going to be most powerfully positioned to serve because you went through the pain that they're going through and you know what it's like. So whatever challenge you've conquered, whatever obstacle you've overcome, whatever tragedy you've triumphed over, whatever setback you survived has shaped you into the person who can make a difference in the lives of others. What a blessing, right?
Yes. And that's why you become certified as a high conflict negotiation coach.
You've probably been through it.
Yes. Look how we just tied that all into a bow together.
I like it.
Yes. Oh, and you are such a rock star. Thank you, Rory. How can we learn more about you, Brand Builders Group, what you do? Tell us more about that.
I would say the best thing to do would be to just go, if you go find me on Instagram, and if you just type in HEH, it stands for High Earner Habits. So just either leave a comment or send me a DM that says HEH. I'll send you a link to the 7 ways that wealthy people think and live. So it's sort of all the psychology that I've taken from all of these studies and compiled it into going, how do you change your mindset in a way to like become more financially abundant? And then how does that roll through into your various businesses? You can do that. You can also comment eternal or DM me eternal, and I'll send you the Eternal Life podcast if you're interested there. But I think, you know, that would be the place. If you're curious about building your personal brand and you want to learn more about that, go to freebrandcall.com/Zung, freebrandcall.com/Zung. And you can request a call to talk to our team about how we might be able to like help you use your personal brand to build your business. Cause that's what we're doing these days.
Awesome. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes as well as in the show notes for the YouTube so that you can go check him out, follow him. You have a YouTube channel too, right? I mean, we'll put all that there too.
Yeah, I do. I'm on YouTube as well.
Yeah. So we'll put all of that in the show notes for you. Go check him out, follow him. We'll put the link to his book, Take the Stairs, as well. Go get that. Really good stuff. Thank you, Rory. You are a true rock star. We love you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you. It's my pleasure. I believe in you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Tune in next week for another edition of Negotiate Your Best Life. Remember, if you want more ways to slay and you want more ways to be supported, you can always join my membership at joinslay.com/slay. You can always subscribe to my YouTube channel, and you can always grab my free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet at winmynegotiation.com. Remember that today is a great day to start negotiating your best life, and I will definitely catch you in the next episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, Slayers, I'm here to tell you about a new podcast I'm excited about. Creating Confidence, hosted by Heather Monahan, a part of the Yap Media Network. Heather sits down with experts like Gary Vee, Sarah Blakely, and Les Brown to share with you techniques and strategies to create your confidence, pursue your dreams, and leapfrog villains you'll meet along the way. Creating Confidence is about elevating your confidence to the highest level ever. And take your business right there with you. Don't believe me? I'm going to share some of the amazing reviews that I've seen on Apple. Here's one. Heather has the perfect gems of wisdom that not only inspire you, but motivate you into action. I recommend it to anyone who wants to elevate their reach and go to that next level. How about that? That's amazing. Here's another one. Heather is so inspiring, and each episode is filled with tips and tricks on how to become more confident and live the life of your dreams. So if you are looking to level up your confidence, check out Creating Confidence now. Subscribe to Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast platform is.